Testing, testing.
This is almost the environment more than
it is
the
really,
Earth,
isn't it?
Really? Have we already publicised it as the Earth?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, but that's fine. The Earth.
Why is it called the Earth?
Well, no, we talked about what? I said, what do you mean? Why is it called the Earth?
You mean why is the Earth called the Earth?
It's why just something I never say. I never say Earth. I always say world.
Well, it depends. It's not called the world, is it? Because a world is, it's relative. Mars is a world. It's the world because it's our world. But there are many worlds, aren't there? You could say the world of something. You couldn't say the Earth of something. The Earth is the name of the planet.
But when do we need that?
What?
When do we need to say the Earth?
When we're referring to the Earth.
When does that ever happen?
Well, for instance, right now, when we're talking about the Earth, being that this is the name of the
book. To distinguish it from other planets.
If I was in... I know, but when's that ever going to be a problem for me?
What? Well, it's not all about you.
If I was in a rocket...
Yeah, right, here we go.
I'm sat at the front.
sat at the front.
He's got a good seat, yeah.
The pilot goes, Carl, come up here, mate.
And I look in the mirror, and I see...
Mirror in the rocket. Mirror... Check, reverse, indicate. Brilliant.
And I see the world. I'd say, look, oh, doesn't the world look magnificent?
You go, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Mate?
Yeah, that's how I'd say it. I wouldn't say Earth. I wouldn't dream of using the word Earth.
But then you're in a... You could say, well, this is our world now for the next year. This is our world, this spaceship.
I'd say, no, not really.
It
I'll always
is,
be
mate.
Looking back over there. I'm looking at, there's our world, there's England. There.
Not anymore, mate. We're moving to Mars. We're going to start a whole new world. Oh, which world are you talking about, Carl? Let's call it the Earth and Mars, like we always have, you dopey cunt. That's the name of this planet
but
we're on.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's not our problem. We're never going to leave it. So it's our world. So leave it as world. It's a bit of information. You don't write so-and-so road, London, England, Earth. You don't need it.
What other words are you annoyed by? Other words are out there. You're thinking, why is that there? Because we do not need it.
It's one of them where I come across something. They're not always in my head. It's just... I'm trying to think of something that I've seen recently. That's a word.
I'll say some words, Carl. You tell me whether you like them or not. Okay? Yeah? Root.
What sort of root are we talking about?
Good question. What about, a pre-planned journey?
No, I don't need it. You just go, which way are you going? I thought you meant beetroot. That's
a root vegetable.
Right.
What, you don't mind beetroot?
Depends what I'm having.
He doesn't mean the food, he means you don't mind the word existing. This is because you have such a limited vocabulary that it annoys you and intimidates you that people are using words, correct words, the correct English language.
Probably. Are you happy with chair? Should we keep chair?
It works. It's fine.
Are you happy with the chair you sit on, or the chair who's in charge of, like, a forum or a meeting? What would we call a bloke who's in charge of a meeting?
Chief.
Chief? Okay, what about, bloke who's in charge of a group
Native
of...
Native Americans.
I don't know any. Again, not going to affect my life.
No, but what would you call him? He's a bloke who's in charge of all the Indian... All the
Seriously, not a problem
for
me.
It's a problem for someone, so
yeah.
You've got to have a word for
head
it.
Chief?
Head chief. Oh, so he's... that means he's the bloke in charge of people who are in charge of meetings.
That's confusing.
No,
I'm confused. I don't know who you're talking
confused,
about, mate.
Actually. I'm confused here.
I mean, some words I know you're not happy with. There are certain numbers you're not keen on. What about number 7? Would you get rid of that?
I've heard about that tribe where it is, just like they have 3. They say that's all they need in their life. 1, 2, 3.
Really?
Yeah, give us 3 of them. And then, actually, it gives another 2 with them 3. It's all, like, just easy.
I love the fact that they're still saying they're talking like that.
Still down the market.
Yeah. We should have a word for this 3 and this 2. Nah, fuck it. I very rarely want 3 then 2. Keep it 3 then 2. How many do you need now? Just 1 and another 1. We'll say 2. Oh yeah, I could say 2, yeah. Do you want one more? If I wanted 3, I'd say 3. Do you want one more? Yeah, go on, give us 3 and 1. As the writer and pioneering ecologist Rachel Carson once wrote, "Those who dwell among the beauties and mysteries of the Earth are never alone or weary of life. Earth, third rock from the sun, and the only known planet in the universe to accommodate life, was formed about 5 billion years ago. Extensively covered by saltwater oceans, it supports a myriad of organisms, the most evolved of which is man."
Yet how we humans interact with our world could be sowing the seeds of our own destruction. With environmental concerns still high on the political agenda, what is the future of life on Earth? How are we coping with the threat of global warming? And is our newfound ecological concern too little too late? To discuss the past, present and future of the Earth, I'm joined by Stephen Merchant, award-winning writer and graduate of the University of Warwick.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington.
Oh, look at his round head, the cat!
All right.
I've been hit by global warming recently, Rick, a couple of times, actually.
Go on.
I don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, you know, because of the snow and the rain, and all, that's obviously to do with global warming, but it probably is. I was flying out to the States, you know, just hopping over stateside.
Yeah.
And on the old plane, it was one of those bleak, kind of snowy days recently, and they got us all on the plane. We sat on the runway for 4.5 hours. Right. 4.5 hours while they de-iced the plane. Now, it's good that they de-iced it, but I don't want to be told that the plane needs de-icing. I didn't know planes could get iced in a way that they needed to be de-iced. When I sometimes, Rick, if it's a chilly morning, right, got the old car, what I'll do is I'll pop the engine on,
yeah,
okay, let it warm up, yeah, pop inside, have another cup of tea, come back, yeah, out, it's lovely and warm and toasty in there. That's, yeah, what I'd like to have seen them do with the old plane.
Pilot. Yeah. The pilot goes, don't you get on yet, let me warm it up. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, when it's up at 30,000 feet, it's like minus 50,
well,
60 degrees.
This must get iced up anyway. So there's not some guy on the wing scraping with those little plastic things. You don't see if you've got a window seat.
We've got to put in here. We've got to put in here for a while. It's iced up.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. But also, I didn't see anyone de-icing, so I don't know how they do it. It's not presumably with, you know, like I sometimes use a CD case if I haven't got one of those scrapers.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
I mean, I don't know, yeah, if there was people with, you know, probably with a vinyl record scraping away. But, yeah, 4.5 hours to de-ice it. Bunch of people on there whinging and phoning and calling and making me annoyed anyway. Get to Los Angeles, City of Angels, famously, you know, glorious weather all year round. That's why people move there.
Yeah.
Pissed down with rain the entire time I was there.
I know, you hit the storm. I think I moved out of LA and went to New York the day before it turned horrible, didn't I?
The problem was, I hired a car, right, and I was going to get a relatively cheap car. They persuaded me to upgrade to a Mercedes convertible. I thought, yeah, I'll look good driving around LA, yeah, you know, and that. Couldn't use the top down, obviously. Every day I'd get in this car, every day it would be pouring with rain. I could hear it splattering on the fabric roof, thinking, I just paid the odds for this. And, you know, every time there'd be a break in this cloud, I would instantly stop and lower this thing and drive around sub-zero temperatures just to have the top down.
I would like to
have
seen
you, even though it's still cloudy and grim.
Like, you know, at 85 degrees, just whizzing down the freeway at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But your glasses would fly off.
They would. This is the problem. So I've never really thought. Plus, I lost my sunglasses, so I have to wear a hat in order to keep the sun out of my eyes. And all I had was a kind of what I like to think is a rather fashionable Justin Timberlake style trilby.
Oh, it's not that hat that makes you look like one of Bill and Ben.
See, I think it makes me look like a like Tom Waits or a sort of 1960s news reporter.
All right,
but you.
I thought Bill and Ben, the flower pot man.
Problem with it is when I bought it again, I was suckered into it. A bloke sold it to me. Told me he was a street vendor, and he told me I looked amazing in it. I'll be honest. I honestly gave him the cash straight away.
Did you have a game of Find the Lady with him as well?
I'm beginning to wonder if that was part of his sales pattern and he wasn't just a lovely fellow who's trying to help me out. But yeah, it's not quite big enough, so instead of sort of pulling in tight down by the ears, it sort of sits pork pie-esque on top of my head.
Right.
And it is in danger of flying off. It did fly off into the back seat when I was driving. Luckily, I could stop and pop it back on again. But,
yeah, that's great.
It didn't fly off and you know, you don't want that as you're cruising past a couple of sort of Playboy bunny types in an open top Cadillac and you're just grinning to them and your hat flies off.
Or it hits a big Hell's Angel on a chopper behind you.
Of course,
in the face. He's scratched
around
his bike. You stop and you go, it's my hat.
Yeah.
And he goes, is it?
Exactly. What annoyed me was I was with my mates and we were driving around and we had a bunch of friends and they said, oh, can you pick up a couple of friends of ours? And we picked them up, a couple of girls. I thought, oh, ding dong, here we are. Good looking girls. They got in the car. Instantly we're going, there's not much leg room. I was thinking, for God's sake, it's a bloody Mercedes. I couldn't even impress them with it. It's costing me a fortune. Like, again, you go, this is a lovely bit of motor. But no, whinging straight away, I never met before. First thing we said.
Let's accept, right, that at some point about 13, 14 billion years ago, it was nothing. There was no space for the nothing to be in. There was no darkness, no light, nothing. Okay, literally nothing. Except what is nearly a point in space that contained everything in the known universe, okay? Suddenly, that exploded. And in a matter of minutes, the universe was pretty much as it is now. And in all the debris, in all the dust, things started to cling together. One of which was the Earth.
Can I have Carl pick up the story from there?
Yeah! So, there we are. We've got the Earth. We've got this big...
What happened next?
...planet.
Probably nothing for quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just sort of floated about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't causing a problem because it wasn't annoying anyone.
No.
You see, we don't get a chance of that these days.
No.
You pop something down, someone says, move that. Dangerous, what is it?
Yeah.
Back then, nothing. So it's hanging around, and if you leave something somewhere, something will sit on it.
Right.
Okay, if you leave something somewhere, something will sit on it, yeah.
Well, say like a bin bag. I can put a bin bag outside. Bin men don't come until Friday.
Sure.
But I want to get, I don't want it in the house. Sure. It's got chicken in it.
Yep.
I pop it outside, right? It's sat there for a few days now. Just time, like, you know, a day before the bin men are coming,
yeah.
I pick that up and take it round the front.
Right.
It's got a slug living under it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like one of those little wood lice things.
Yeah.
Might
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
Snail.
Yep.
What's your point?
We've got
a young Earth. It's 4.5 billion years ago. Yeah. It's whizzing round the sun.
Something's going to sit on it.
Yeah, something had to sort of happen, didn't it? I'll tell you what it's like.
Go on.
In the same way, penicillin.
Go on.
Happened.
Go on.
It was, the bread was sat there, it goes off.
Mm.
Air would have created the greenness.
Oh God! This sounds like the Bible! That is like the Bible! Air created the greenness! That's amazing!
Carry on, because I want to. I'm learning.
And once you've got something, that leads to otherness.
this is like a monk that sat down. Oh,
we're all sat cross-legged listening to the wise old man.
I know. What are you going to do? I'm going to write a thing of how everything was created.
But hang on, carry on, because I'm interested.
Yeah.
So where are we? So we had greenness, and now we've got something.
So the air created the greenness, and then what is it?
Then we have what was
just
it?
Otherness other, from otherness. The greenness. Because right.
From greenness comes otherness.
Once you've got one thing, others come.
Yes.
The air created the greenness, then you got otherness. If you create something, others will come.
Build it and they will
but
come.
But it's sort of right.
No, I'm not saying I agree. But take me on. Continue this story, because this is fascinating. So where are we now then? If I was to stand on the Earth at this moment in time, what would I see?
Not that much. You wouldn't want to stay.
But there's greenness.
Little patches of greenness.
Okay.
Little bit of rubble knocking around.
There was a bit of rubble. Okay.
We've still got a long way to go. We want to get to life, don't we?
Okay. Let's skip forward to life.
So everything was right. Okay. It was the right distance from the sun. Okay.
Yeah, but even if it wasn't, we would still have been created.
No, we wouldn't.
We would have done.
I want to hear Carl's opinion on this, Rick. I'm not interested in facts. I want to hear Carl's opinion.
So, are you saying if the atmosphere right around the Earth wasn't about 99% nitrogen oxygen with 1% other gases, we'd have still had something else?
Something would have been around. I'm not saying it might be better than us. It might be worse than us.
What would it look like?
Well, it's hard to say because they say, don't they, that it's the conditions that mould you into the shape and colour.
Sure.
And you know, everything else that makes you the person that you are.
Okay, let's take Pluto. We know that's the farthest away, so it is dark and cold there.
Right.
How do you imagine the creatures that will develop there will look?
Big eyes and airy.
How did they evolve though?
Because we evolved. Hang on, you always say animals change to suit the conditions.
I'd have thought if planet's dark, you don't need eyes because things that live underground or at the bottom of the ocean, they don't have eyes or colour because there's no point.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about, are we saying we're living inside Pluto or on the top of it like we do here?
Why would we live inside Pluto? There's well, no, it couldn't support life, full stop. But this is one of the most ridiculous conversations we've ever had.
He's seriously considering whether we live inside or outside.
On a ridiculously false premise.
No,
Carl,
we're saying now that the world's overcrowded.
Right.
There's too many people on it.
Right.
We're running out of houses. People are living in basements. Now that's only one step away from being molish. We're already going underground because we're running out of space.
Being molish.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Come on. Keep. I want to hear his point.
It's like being Amish.
So what
are
you saying?
Molish people. They don't acknowledge the crust of the earth.
So you're saying within 5 years there's going to be sort of mole-like people living in basement flats with no eyes.
But hold on, though. According to you, the lower they go, the colder and darker they go, the hairier and better eyes they'll have.
Well, it depends. No, I was only saying they'd have better eyes if they're on a dark planet where they're outside, so they still have to look out for things that they could trip over. If we're going underground,
that's their sole concern. That's the whole evolution. Is about what we don't want to trip over. I don't want to graze my knees.
You've got knees. They got them on Earth. Coincidence, isn't it?
What I'm saying is right, and I've always said this.
Go on.
We are not the same as the first man that nature made.
No. No, we're not, no.
And that's where we went wrong. And if we didn't interfere, we might have been more suited to the conditions now. And Inora.
Right.
I'm cold. She doesn't want double glazing.
Why not?
Just because she's worried that when people come round and sort of knock on the door, she won't hear them, because it's all sort of double glazed.
But they're knocking on the door.
She said that, no, she didn't like a bell, it makes her jump too much.
How do they get in now?
Well, it's a thin door and thin glass, you hear it. It's not like soundproof like double glazing is.
What, so they have to knock
on the... They knock like that, on the door, and she can hear that because it's like a wooden door.
But why are they going to double glaze the door? Is it a glass door?
No, they want to put that PVC door in with the thicker glass.
Hang on, so she's scared by... You don't want a doorbell because that alarms her, but the knocking is fine.
The knocking's fine because you get to know knocks.
Why don't they have a bell that when you press it, it makes that noise?
Because they haven't done that yet.
Well,
maybe
that's
an idea.
You could do a sample of a... like that. So when they press the doorbell, she hears... That's easy, that's done. You could sort that out for her.
Well, I don't want to start getting dragged into it, because...
But why don't you tell her, say, Auntie Nora, have double glazing, be warm, be safe. Hear the knock of the bell on the doubly door.
This is it, though, isn't it? She wouldn't be around now if it wasn't for people interfering, coming up with tablets, making weak people live longer.
Right. You're annoyed at that. You're annoyed.
I know, he's such a fascist, isn't he? Auntie Nora, a weak person who has been allowed to live...
No,
eugenics is where you'd be happier.
Do you recycle and not leave the tap running and turn off lights because you're worried about a child born in 100 years' time?
No.
No.
No, because I don't think... at the end of the day, we have to face facts here.
Go on.
The world is old.
Hold on. All right, okay.
The world's old.
Really old.
And it's the same as if you've got a gran who's 70...
Yeah.
There's not much you can do for her. you can say you're warm, but at the end of the day, she's still going to be shitting her pants. She's still going to be, you know, forgetting things and all the rest of it. And you might be taking care of her, but at the end of the day, the good days are gone.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in a way, like the world, it's got to a point that it's old. And yeah, we can say turn the tap off, turn the lights off, close the windows, stop letting heat out,
The earth, metaphorically, is shitting its pants.
You've only got to look at what's happening, right? It's freezing, isn't it, at the moment, out there?
Yeah.
Ice everywhere, snow everywhere. Now, an old person, what happens to them? They're always cold. It's like the earth, isn't it?
Brilliant.
The earth now is freezing.
Yeah.
It feels the cold
it's
more
winter
than ever.
As well. It's also because it's winter, but yeah.
And I think if you try and make it better now, you end up doing more damage.
Does that make any sense at all?
Well, just... You can sometimes it's too late to make something better. Like, I've had old relations who smoke like 50 a day. Doctor said, you've got to stop smoking. Stop smoking. 2 weeks later, they're dead. Shouldn't have stopped them smoking.
Yeah,
they're inside. Well, their insides are used to all that pollution.
Yeah.
Take the pollution away. What will the world do?
That's a good point. Interesting. This is scientifically grounded, is it? You've done a lot of the research, read a lot of the information about this. Or is it just a wild harebrained speculation again, backed up with nothing? Is it bullshit? Which of those two is it?
I just, like I said to you, I just think it's a theory. That's what it is. Mm. You're not telling me it's a coincidence that about three of my old relations have died because the doctor said stop smoking.
Well, it might be because they're very old, and...
Well, yeah, they were old, but it's weird how they, you know, why stop them smoking? They're old.
Sure.
Let them have a fag. Jesus. You know, they've got nothing else in their life. You've took that away, they die. Let them have a fag. And it's the same with this world. It's polluted now. I mean, there's rubbish everywhere. Isn't there?
You just mean in the streets and stuff?
Just, yeah. You know, different levels of, I've noticed how rubbish changes depending where you live. Just like, when I lived in the centre of town, it was rank. It was like human sort of poo.
Oh, what?
Yeah, honestly, down alleys and that.
What, tramps, you mean?
It must be. I don't know, I didn't sort of hang around to see who's doing it. It's just, but very human. It wasn't dog-like.
How do you know it's human?
Just the way it looked.
What do you mean?
Well, you'd walk past it and you'd go, that's, look at that there, Susan.
Yeah.
So look at that, that looks that. Human.
Oh, yeah. And what does Suzanne say? Yeah, can we walk somewhere else from now on? This isn't...
Yeah, why are you walking up and down this same alley?
I wanted to show you the human poo.
It's a cut-through.
Were you having a shit yourself?
It's the cut-through that we used to always use, and most of the time it was just like smell a wee, really yeah. strong wee,
yeah.
and you'd see if you could hold your breath for the full thing. But
a little bit of fun, a little bit of romantic fun yeah. after a night yeah, in a restaurant.
I remember when he took her for a walk around the car park.
So, but yeah, but now I've moved to like, you know, a posher bit of London. You still get litter, but I saw like a rice cake. That's what I chucked on the floor.
Yeah.
That's like, you
it's
know.
Just hummus tubs and,
yeah. Yeah, but it's still rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still
yeah.
rubbish.
Who left this crouton maker lying around?
So, don't you see what I'm saying though? The way the world, we've changed more than the world has. We can't handle anything now, can we? Look at it, like I say, a bit of snow, a bit of cold, everything comes to a standstill.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't go out, it's dangerous, you'll slip over, people having time off work.
Yeah. What would you do, right, if you run a business, right, your business could go under, right, it snows a bit, you've got 10 employees, you're paying them well, and they go, I can't come in today, Carl, a bit icy. I'll do it, okay? Right, they're snowed in, right, you're running the business, what are you running?
It's a, let's not, don't, you know, I'm not going to big myself up, it's just a,
no,
it's a factory, it's
U-Bends,
no, U-Bends, U-Bends for, you
toilet,
know,
so yeah. you run a, okay, right, okay, you pay them all right, don't you?
I'd say most of them are on above average.
So you're there, what time do you get in?
About 8:45.
8:45, waiting for them to come in at 9, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, right, it's snowing, it's a bit snowy, you got there, it took you a bit, what, you'd set off early, did you, or?
Gave myself a bit more time, because I had to put the heating on the car.
Okay, ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello, KP Plumbing.
Oh, is that Miss Pilkington?
Yeah, it is, yeah, who's that?
Oh, it's Sheila. Listen.
Sheila, shouldn't you be here by now?
Yeah, no, I was gonna set off.
We'll set off now, stop wasting time, we've got a big order on.
No, I know.
We're all on a bonus here if we get this done. I'll see you in 10 minutes, shall I?
I can't make it.
What?
I can't make it.
Why not?
The car won't start and it's slippy on the drive. I just can't get out.
Get the transport. I'll see you in, I'll give you 20 minutes, all right? Don't worry about it.
Well,
thanks for calling. I'll see you in a bit.
I'm also scared of the ice. I'm not gonna come in today. It's dangerous.
So what are you gonna do?
Well, I'm gonna wait until the ice and snow goes away and then
I'm gonna come in. But they're predicting it's gonna be about 2 weeks before they clear all this.
I can't really travel in this. It's a bit dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you what. You stay at home. I'll replace you because I need someone to come in.
What,
got
are you firing me because I can't get into work with this?
Well, I got into work, Sheila.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you don't live with me, do you? If you did live with me, then
no,
you'd probably see
bad.
How...
It was bad where I was as well.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Do you know how bad it is here? When you come round and have a look how bad it is here,
no,
you drive
I'm
my-
not coming
tell
round
what,
here.
You come round and drive my fucking car because I'm snowed in, you fucking calling me a cunt. And I'll tell you, if you fire me, I'll take you to a drive uni, you bald-headed wanker.
Right, you're fired anyway for that.
You're in fucking trouble then.
Mm, right then, see ya. Right, and right. then she's done with. She's weak anyway.
Ring, ring.
KP Plumbing.
Hiya, is that, Miss Pilkington?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Hi, it's Bob here.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, bit of trouble. At my area, it's absolutely snowing. It's possible. No one's getting out. I live near Sheila.
Bob, listen. Yeah, well, yeah. Sheila's just been on. She's saying she all can't right. get in either.
She can't. I've just seen her out there trying to dig her car out, and she's hurt about. She's really, really tried hard to get to work, but she can't do it because she's not very rich and her car doesn't work. She hasn't got the right tyres. And there's no public transport. They've cancelled those. Wrong snow on this country. I'm not going to make it in today, son. So,
I'll see you tomorrow, right, boy?
Well, no, you're saying you'll see me tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you'll probably call up tomorrow with the same thing.
Well, only now, if it's snowing still.
No, listen,
it might not,
well, I can't run a business like this, Bob.
Yeah, it's not my fault, is it, really?
So go round to Sheila's and like, slag me off if you want. But I'll tell you
I'm
what,
not
you're
off.
Not coming
just,
back here. Oh. Fuck off. One chance. Give them one chance.
Oh. Well, you didn't even give them one chance.
No, because they've done it before.
Oh, fucking hell.
Just annoys me.
Do you recycle?
I give a lot of stuff to Oxfam.
Well, yeah, that's the sort of recycling, yeah. Hand-me-downs and passing on things. Well, it's probably a better form of recycling, isn't it? You're not destroying anything and remaking it. You're just letting someone else wear a jumper that you don't wear anymore. So that's, yeah.
Don't really do all that. I don't separate stuff. I don't sort of put, there's the cans, there's the paper.
You don't do that?
You just throw it away, do you?
Because yeah.
that's not recycling
that
and they can't
me.
Do anything with that.
That annoys me when you're just putting it in landfill, mate. Come on.
Yeah.
But I haven't got all the bins. There isn't enough room for all the bins.
Yeah, we have to do.
You've got a recycle box you stick outside.
Yeah.
What are you on about?
Recycle box, yeah.
I haven't got one.
Well, no, you got to ask for one.
I tried to get rid of a sofa, right? I was getting a new sofa, had the old one. You try and get rid of one of them, it's murder, right? I called up the council, said I want to get rid of it. They said, we're not coming round there till Friday. It was like a Monday. I said, it's in the way. So I put it outside. They said, you put it outside, you'll get a fine. I said, yeah, but you don't know where I'm going to put it outside.
Yeah.
It's not outside my house.
No.
So they said, well, you do that, we've got your number.
What's
now.
The sofa like? It's a beige one. Well, if we see that. Right.
So they said, if you want to pay to have it collected, we can come and get it tomorrow, £30. I said, I'm not paying for it. It's madness.
Yeah.
So hung up, annoyed, called my dad up. He said, oh, I saw this thing on the telly saying that you can donate your furniture to people who haven't got a sofa. Look it up on the internet. So I looked it up, there's a firm that does it.
Right.
Right, cheeky sods. Called them up, said, I've got this sofa here, I want to donate it to someone who hasn't got a sofa. They said, oh, what's it like, is it in good condition? Yeah, it's alright, yeah. Well, why are you getting rid of it? I said, because we've moved into a bit of a bigger place and the sofa looks daft in the corner. It's too small, so I'm getting a bigger one. There's nothing wrong with it. How big is it? How many people does it sit? So it depends how big you are. You can sit two people on it, but it's not the comfiest. But it's in good condition. It's none of your nonsense-like stuff. It was expensive right. when I bought it. He said, right. He said, is it safe? I said, what do you mean? He said, is it fag-proof? So I said, I don't smoke. He said, well, go and get the, lift the thing up. He's got me running around looking at my sofa when I'm giving it away. I had to lift it up, it had a picture of a fag on it. I said, yeah, it's got a picture of a fag on it.
Could I just, point out for our American listeners, fag is a slang for cigarette. When he says, is it fag-proof, he's not going to open the cushion and someone's go, you, it's me! So, I should explain that straight away.
So anyway, it turned out it was fag-proof. They came and picked it up, took it away, that was that. But look at the hassle. Look at the hassle it takes to get rid of something. And then they say to you, do not be dumping stuff on the street. You know, it's that thing of having to wait for certain days of the week and you can't always keep hold of something till a certain day of the week because it's big. A mattress. It's one of them things you can't get sort of rid of. Or you can't stick it somewhere.
No.
Because it's in the way. It's a big, clumpy bit of furniture, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a bit of furniture, really, a mattress, but I know what you mean.
Well,
it's a new sideboard. Yeah, don't lean on it. It's a bit spongy. What do you keep in it? We can't keep anything in it. It's just full of springs and stuff.
No, but you
not
know what
really
I mean?
It's a furniture, to be honest.
Well, it's part
it should
of,
be on a bed, to be honest.
It's part of a furniture bit, isn't it? Did I tell you that time when...
I don't think you could even ever count a mattress as a piece of furniture.
Of course you can.
It's functional. And where do you stop? Is a pillow a piece of furniture? Is a blanket? Oh, a nice bit of furniture you're wearing. They're my trousers. They're furniture if you pop them up against a wall.
Can I tell you that time when we first bought a flat?
Go on.
Bought a flat in Manchester, right? And
yeah.
You know, when you first buy a place, it's expensive, isn't it?
And it's a big bit of furniture, a flat, isn't it?
So, you know, we bought a sofa, we got a table.
Mm.
Sorry, you don't mean you bought a sofa, you ended up with a table?
No, no.
You bought a sofa and a table.
Yeah. Table. Okay, yeah. Now, I didn't know.
Suzanne sent you to buy a sofa, you yeah. came back with a table.
Now, back then, I wasn't as wise as I am now.
Fucking hell! Oh, what was he? Some snot in a jar.
Can I just apologise to any slot in a jar that's listening and was offended by that comment?
All right. So I ordered a bed. I ordered a bed.
Yeah.
It turned up.
Oh, well done. Fucking hell, that's a victory.
I thought...
Nothing went down Shin Creek this
that's
time.
That's not the end of the story, is it?
No. So I thought, I'm going to get this in the bedroom, set it all up. Suzanne comes home from work, the bed's done, she'll be well happy.
Yeah.
So I get it all up there in the lift and what have you. I think it seems like I'm missing something here. Put it together, no mattress.
How did you not notice there was no mattress?
No, just because it's like, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I've got all the screws, I've got the slats for that at the bottom, there's the post and that. So I put it together.
Where's the softy spongy bit of furniture that usually sits on top of the more rigid bit of furniture?
So I called them up, I said, there's no mattress with it. He said, no, it's not part of it. I said, what do you mean it's not part of it? A bed isn't a bed without a mattress, it's a climbing frame, right? So they said, you know, you can buy one. We have got them in for that thing. But it was like 400-odd quid.
And I don't know why you're telling me this. I know this. I've walked beds. I understand this is how it works.
The mattress isn't a bed. No, the bed is something else.
Yeah, but that's wrong. You cannot use a bed without a mattress is what I'm saying. So don't sell it without it.
No, but some people replace the bed frame with and keep the old mattress.
That's fine. Once you've invested in it and you go, oh, will I buy a new bed or will I just buy a new mattress? Fine.
Well, they're not going to keep selling beds with new mattresses in case you've already got a mattress.
What?
A bed and a mattress without any pillows and blankets is no good, but you don't expect that to come with it.
At least you can sleep on that. You can sleep on a spongy bit, you can chuck a coat over you, you can use a cushion off a sofa.
Thinking some fuckwit might buy it without the mattress, we better include it.
So anyway, so I was like, oh, I didn't think of this.
I didn't think of this!
So I called my dad up.
So I called my dad up!
Dad! So your fuckwit's on again. Alright son, how's it going? What have you done, bought a bed without a mattress?
Oh. So I said, listen, I've bought that bed, there's no mattress on it, can you get us one? So he said, oh, I'll have a word, I'll call around, right? So he calls back, like, an hour and a half later. He said, got your mattress, go round to Alf's. Alf is me, sort of, uncle who isn't an uncle.
Oh, right.
He's the one who I've told you about, who had two tellies, we've talked about on the podcast. He had two tellies, one that worked... picture wise, one that works on the sound.
Perfect.
Slept in a rubber dinghy, right? Now, yeah. The thing is.
I remember Alf, yeah.
He said, yeah, I've got a mattress, come and get it. So I go around there.
Why does he sleep on the fucking mattress if he's got one? Why does he sleep in a fucking boat if he's got a mattress?
He's terrified of flooding.
Yeah.
So anyway, I get there and it's in his van.
Right.
He's
driving around with a mattress in the back of a van. Why is he a fucking serial killer?
So I thought Suzanne's going to be happy. Dragged it out of the van, chucked it in the car. Thought she won't even know. Do you know what I mean? No. So I dragged that back. And thinking, oh, am I going to make it's rush hour by this point? And thinking, oh, she's going to get home. Anyway, get home, drag it into the lift and what have you. Drag it up, drag it into the bedroom, stick
dead
it on.
Dead prostitute falls off it.
Put a sheet on it and that. Suzanne comes in. She goes, what is that smell?
Oh.
So I said, what? She said, it's like oil and diesel.
But hold on, why didn't you smell it?
I know, it doesn't make sense.
I think I just sort of got used to, maybe it, because I got in the back of the van, smelt that, thought that's in the van, then I got used to that smell.
Yeah.
It's in the back of my car, folded up. I'm concentrating on trying to get this bed made before she gets in.
Mm. Sure.
Plus, he used to wear a blindfold instead of sunglasses in those days.
So anyway, she's going, what is it? I said, I've got this off Alf. She said, we can't have that. She said, you know, it's a new flat, nice clean flat and everything. We've got this old thing that stinks. Get rid of it. It was murder getting rid of that. And I had to tip it. I went round the back of some supermarket and left it there. Because you call
fly
around...
tipping. Illegal fly tipping.
Well, no, because I think it's illegal and bad when you're chucking it out, say, at a bus stop or somewhere on a high street or something and people are going, that looks a mess. I chucked it near the bins at a supermarket. I'd gone out of my way. I thought, where is this not going to be offensive?
Why couldn't you just go in the tip?
I think I did try the tip. Oh, no. No, there was a massive queue. There was a massive queue.
Laziness, Rick, sorry.
A queue at the tip?
A massive queue.
Where
I remember
was this?
It now.
Oh,
Stretford.
Then.
Stretford, that was. I remember.
Why is there a queue for the tip?
Don't know. I remember, yeah. I remember driving past it and thinking, I haven't got time for that. And that was...
So don't go on about you couldn't get rid of it. It's because you couldn't be asked to queue up, you lazy bastard. Couldn't get rid of it.
But what was he thinking? Why was he panicking? One, why did he get a bed without a mattress? Two, why does he call his dad to get him out of mattress-related problems? His dad gets to go, Alf. Alf's got one in the back of a dirty old fucking van. Oh, wait, that should be all right.
No, but the thing is, what I'm saying is, when I was in that bed shop and I'm going, oh, yeah, good bed, I'm sitting on it, I'm sitting on a mattress with it, at no point did he say, now, have you thought about what sort of mattress you want? Have you got orthopaedic problems or whatever? That didn't come up. He said, there's your order, there's your address. I'm not a bed man. I go to the bed man to get bed advice. In the same way, same problem here. I've had work done recently with...
Dad, what? How to get rid of a body? Let me call out.
I'd worked them recently, right? Bathroom retiled.
Yeah.
Right. It's been a nightmare. Polish fella.
Right.
Not a word of English, which makes it hard.
Mm.
I've got him in as a professional to do it. He's sticking grout down the toilet. So then, like, he sort
now
of finishes.
Who's grout? Is that another mate?
You know, when after they put, like, the grout in the tiles to finish it off,
yeah.
Anything that's left, he didn't put it in the bin and get dispose of it properly.
Mm.
He stuck it down the toilet.
Yeah.
And now it's there, the grout's there at the bottom of the toilet.
Is it really?
Yeah, with a screw in it.
Well, you can drain it, can't you? You can turn the water off, get rid of it, drain the water
no,
off.
No, it wants him to go around the U-bend.
Well,
it's
no, you'd
there.
Get it out there, you'd dry it off, wouldn't you, so there's no water in there.
Well, just stick your hand
pushed
in.
A lot
get
of
your hand in there. Why don't you put a
well, last time
glove.
I did that, once last time you called up when I had my hand down a grid and you were going, what are you doing? Get someone out to do that.
Yeah, but it's putting a marigold on and taking the screw out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the screw's not a problem. I'm not that bothered about
it's
that.
Still
I'm
down there,
about
though,
the
is
grout.
It?
Yeah, the screw's there, yeah.
So you could have taken that out, no problem.
Yeah, but it's half a job, that, isn't it? I want to get rid of the grout first and I'll get rid of the screw.
Yeah.
But I will, I'm not scared about putting. You called up here, I was up to my shoulder, Stephen, like. Glunge.
Now, what annoys me, Rick, is he makes up his own words.
Well, I'm going to use that for flannels, mate.
Yeah, so you're up to your arm in glunge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ricky called, and it's, again, it was in Kent. The bloke had done the kitchen, been pouring down cement into the grid outside. I'm sort of washing up, look outside, loads of water all over the place. I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I go out there, all the water's like, because it runs... to a grid outside, you know, that sort of system.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not it's not going down, is it?
Sure.
There's loads of water there.
Right.
So I call up the main fella who does the kitchens. There's a message there. Sorry, I'm away in Cyprus.
Right.
So I can't get hold of him.
Right.
So he's ballsed it up, but he's on holiday now. He doesn't want to know. There's all this, like I say, gloopy stuff.
Lunch.
I'm scooping that up with my hand. Up, seriously, must be close to my shoulder.
Right.
Not my problem, really, but all these people, you're saying, recycle properly, don't pour stuff, all these bottles you get now, Domestos, it has, like, little pictures of dolphins looking unhappy, because people are pouring bleach down a sink or whatever. I've never had that problem, I've never upset a dolphin, but I know, if I hadn't sorted that out, it would have caused loads of problems for me and the neighbour, and it would have been my problem. And that's what I'm saying, I'm not that selfish, really, when it comes to the environment
start
of the people around
using
me.
Reliable tradesmen,
and
please.
Also, start caring about the dolphins, please. Because they're all we've got on this planet. Why don't you care about what's happening?
What are we going to swim with, if not the dolphins?
Yeah.
I'm not going to swim with one. It's never going to happen. Never
well,
going to happen.
What if you had a little div, right? Didn't have long to live. What do you want to do? And he went, swim with dolphins.
So you don't want to do that?
I go, oh, Uncle Carl killed them all. With Domestos. They're all bleached
there'd
and blind.
There'd be some other animal. Anyway, it's not about the dolphins, it's about the ocean, isn't it, that the dolphins are in. I told you, if dolphins were in the Thames, they wouldn't be that keen jumping in there, saying, oh, let's swim with a dolphin.
Right.
Says you want to swim with a carrier bag in the Caribbean. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. It makes no difference.
I'd love to see that on Noel Edmonds. We've got a little kid here. What's your name?
Andrew.
And, you want to go swimming? Yeah. What with?
Dolphin.
Okay, well, we can't... we can't arrange the dolphin. They've all died out because of environmental ignorance.
Would you like to swim with a carrier bag? Well, good, we can do that. You can chuck it in the pond. Get in.
And you can take him home with you after and he can be your best friend. Come on, Tesco.
You know that's the problem, don't you? That's why... Do you know the carrier bag problem?
Sure.
I was in the supermarket And it's that point when they turn round and said, "Do you want a carrier bag?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd bought like milk, loaf. I think I bought some pikelets."
Some what?
I got some pikelet!
It's like a thin crumpet.
I think you told me that before!
Never heard it! There's a word I'd get rid of.
Pikelet!
There's a word I would get rid of.
Thin crumpet.
I've got time to say thin crumpet. I do not need a specific
thin
word.
Thin crumpet. That's not a crumpet. Why? Too thin. Call it a pikelet or fuck off.
I'd spent over a tenner anyway, right?
Right.
I get to the till.
Can you make a pikelet by squashing a crumpet thin?
It's tough I've tried that.
What if you cut one in half?
No, it doesn't. It's not the same.
No?
I've tried squashing a crumpet.
How dense is a crumpet that you need a thin one?
Depends where you go. They've got thicker. I'm not enjoying the thicker crumpet at the moment.
Why?
Because the outside burns and the inside does nothing. It's like eating dough. I've cut them out of my diet.
Have you?
Yeah,
well, you're going straight to pikelets now, is
it? It's also because it's not the 1950s anymore.
Yeah.
So I bought all this stuff. It's over a tenner. She said, "Do you want a carrier bag?" I said, "Of course I do with all this, you know." She said, "£5." I said, "You what?" She said, "£5 for a carrier bag." I said, "I come here all the time for the pikelets."
No, I'm right behind this. Right behind this.
Why?
Charging for carrier bags, absolutely.
Yeah, think,
lazy bastards. I take carrier bags down the supermarket every time I go down there.
Yeah, we've got a drawer full of carrier bags. Reuse them.
Steve, can I just put a question in?
Go on.
I do normally. Reuse them.
Right.
But I didn't know I was on my way home from work that day.
Fine. Yeah. But this is the problem.
Up.
So be it.
So,
that's you bought paid with a nose. 5p, otherwise you carry one with you.
And you got another one.
Right, so I said, how's that going to work? How's my £5 going to help the environment?
Typical. That is the attitude. That sums it up, then. It sums it up.
What can I do? It's something else, isn't it?
It's just making you think. It's the turtles.
Right, yeah, turtles. That's why they get caught up in them. Yeah, terrible. Yeah,
she said.
They think they're a jellyfish, and they go, they swallow it. Yeah, and they choke.
So I said, right. So it's all right. I can kill a turtle, kind of, for £5. You're not that bothered then.
Why do you want to kill a turtle at all?
Because if carrier bags shouldn't be out there,
yeah,
ban them. But don't say you're killing turtles with free carrier bags. If you want to kill a turtle, £5. Oh, there you go. There's £5. I'll go and kill a turtle. That's what's annoying me.
It's not compulsory though, is it? But what they're saying is that £5 goes towards something, doesn't it?
What?
If they're the-
What's it going towards?
Well, we don't know. Why are they
charging
£5?
She just told me. She said, "We can't give you carrier bags anymore because you're killing turtles."
See, there's no way. She said, "We can't give you- Carl Pilkington, stop killing fucking turtles. £5."
All I'm saying is, if carrier bags are killing turtles, stop making carrier bags. Because the thing is, I can afford two carrier bags. Two turtles are dead since I've been going in there. Does it matter? Does it matter that much or not enough or what? What's the point here?
There could be, for that 5p, you could get a little fella out there, when he sees a turtle going, he goes and sticks his finger down his throat.
But what taste are they getting out of a jellyfish anyway?
Wow. Will they?
Carrier bag's better, innit?
it gives, oh, it's pikelet. Someone threw a perfectly good pikelet away. Talking about the Earth, Carl is going around the Earth. Myself and Stephen have set Carl up with a dream job. Not only have we got him a TV programme on Sky, but he's going to see the world. It came out of Carl not being impressed by anything, and Steve had this idea, and we've talked to the producers, and we're basically sending him around seeing the seven wonders. Okay, the seven most amazing things on Earth. According to polls and opinion, it's a bit of fun. We know they might not be the most amazing things on Earth, but if Carl finds all seven of them unimpressive and boring, there is something fundamentally wrong with him, we think.
I've only done Egypt so far.
And what do you think of it? They're probably the greatest and earliest civilizations.
But they hang up on about that a lot.
Well,
and it's like that's slowing them down, I think.
Unlike the English, we don't drone on about our great past.
No, but we shouldn't. Yeah. I don't think we should.
Carl,
move on.
You go on about doing boxing when you turned up once and got battered by Leroy.
Yeah, because you asked me about it. But the thing is, they're constantly. It's like they haven't moved on. Everywhere you go, you see the Sphinx or a pyramid on something, and it builds it up too much, so that when you actually get there, you feel like you've seen it so many times that it doesn't impress you that much. But I like the, you know, it's different. I liked all the, you know, locals and stuff and the way they are and that. And that's good, isn't it?
How are they?
Just a lot of old people.
Yeah?
A lot of old and the young mix more than our lot do. There was only a couple of things that I didn't like, and that was the toilets. Toilets are pretty depressing.
Sure. Why? What's up with them?
Just, it's just a hole in the ground, isn't it?
Right.
And I like the toilet. It's sort of, you know, me time. And to sort of going one of them, you don't want to hang around. It's sort of, you just want to do the job and get out, but my insides don't work like that. You like to sort of relax a bit. And, and you can't do that there because you've got flies whizzing around your head. And there was one time when we were out and about and I'd had a bit of hummus or something, because that's, you can't get away from all that.
Mm.
I'd been dipping my bread in it and I suddenly thought, oh, my belly feels funny. Mm. Got to find a toilet. Cut through this market. Didn't know one was there, but you sort of smell it. It's like, really? I'm getting close to one. Yeah, it stinks. Go in, there's like a fella sat there, really old. He must have been about 93, about two teeth. Sat there with a rag, and you have to pay him to use the toilet.
What's the rag for? He doesn't wipe your ass for you?
I don't know. I don't know. But
the
toilet's never been cleaned by the looks of it. I had to give him like £5, whatever that is. I don't know how much that is. But I don't know what he's doing for that money, because the place had never seen a mop. So I go in there, open the door, and it's like one of them holes in the ground. I go, oh, God, can't use that. Push the next door open, that's the same. You know, get to the end one, open it. Normal toilet.
All right.
Ding dong.
Brilliant. Sit down there, do what I do, look round, no toilet paper.
Oh, no.
He's waving the rag over the top of the cubicle.
Yeah.
More money.
£10.
So I'm thinking, oh, God. I'm thinking, can I just get up? Because it was quite a clean, you know, I thought. If
it
I had
was
to,
quite a clean drop, sure. Yeah.
So I'm thinking,
don't
oh,
they use water though? Don't they use water?
Well, they have a hose pipe, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't fancy that.
Well, that's cleaner though, isn't it? A hose pipe, really
no,
getting a proper
Zach,
wash.
Zach. Why? How can it be?
Why?
Because that's just gonna, that's not gonna clean it properly. It's gonna get rid of some bits, isn't it? It's like when you clean a car, yeah, use a hose, but where's a sponge?
Sure.
So,
Yeah, so,
oh, God!
You rinse off a plate, but then you always give a little wipe as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, but I like it. That's when the bloke knocks on the door and goes, you need sponge? Yes.
So I'm in there, I look at the door, there's no handle on the door. So I'm trapped in there anyway. Someone's nicked the handle. So I can't open the door. I'm sat there, there's no toilet paper. I'm calling like the people I'm out there with.
Yeah.
They've got the phones off because we're meant to be filming. So I'm thinking, well, if I just wait, eventually they'll call.
They'll panic, yeah.
And they did after about
hello? 20- oh, it's Carl. What do you need? A handle and some toilet paper, please.
So they called up and they had to come down. That fella don't let you in unless you pay £5.
So they
and
pay.
They all had to pay £5. I mean, I don't know why they all had to come in to see me. Like, it's a bit embarrassing.
Going.
Yeah.
Did you bring? Yeah. Did they bring you some toilet paper then?
No, well, they got it from the, like, the fella with the... You
oh,
paid
yeah,
money to.
You should have paid for some on the way in.
I think that's what you do. But they don't give you a full roll. They give you like a strip,
right?
Which I'm pretty wasteful with toilet paper.
Well,
I prefer to do a good job, use it up, replace it, rather than five sheets. I've never done that in my life.
Right.
my brother taught me something when he was in the army. He said you used to have to sort of put your hand through it, get it all, then use that paper to get it off your hand.
What?
When you're in the army,
yeah.
You're taught survival techniques.
Right.
And they said if you're a caught with very little toilet paper...
It's a survival technique.
Yeah.
Not like...
Yeah. What did he die? Died of a dirty arse. Hold on, wait a minute. Right, what is this technique?
You get the toilet paper.
Right.
Use two sheets.
Right.
Fold it over. So you've got... Normally, to one sheet is two ply. You've
right.
got four ply.
Right.
So
it's a sort of, it's like a bog glove, a bog paper glove.
Yeah, so you put your hand through it so you make a hole.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Make a hole?
Make a hole so your hand goes through it.
Yeah.
Then you can wipe your arse with that.
What,
and
with
then,
your hand?
Yeah, and then the toilet paper that's left, you pull it off like that and you wipe your fingers with it.
Well, so you've still got shit on your hand?
This is horrible!
Yeah,
why,
you
just
wipe,
why don't you just wipe your ass with the toilet paper?
Because you've only got a couple of sheets because you're in the jungle, right? And it's survival.
So what's the difference between wiping your
ass
with your hand and trying to get shit off your hand or wiping your ass with the toilet paper and pulling your fucking trousers up? I don't know why this is a technique. That's some sort of mad sergeant's idea.
What I do, boys, is I like to smear shit all over my face and then use the one sheet of toilet to wash my face off.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Should I suggest something for you? You like wiping your ass with your hand. You don't like paper and water. You like a sponge. One of those big foam hands that you see at sporting
events.
So you just go in with that, like Kenny Everett. You go in there with two big sponges. You sit down. You wipe your ass. You just leave them. You just leave
and
them.
And then you can cheer about it as you leave. But everyone will know. Be careful with the giant sponge finger, then it'll go up the arse and cause damage. That is a problem.
Oh, God. Well, that's it. In the last series of, The Ricky Gervais Guide To's. Maybe the last guide to ever. Maybe the last audiobook ever.
Who knows?
As you've seen, we've running out of ideas.
Well, I've had enough.
Yeah, so have I, yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, that was about the environment, and we certainly recycled some old shit there. So, it's goodbye from me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Bye.
And the global village idiot that is Carl Pilkington.
This audio program is presented by Audible.com. Audible. Audio that speaks to you wherever you are.